Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
Chapter 3 tonight. We stopped at verse 15 last week, and we're going to pick up in verse 12 just for a quick recap. So God is good to us, and he has shown us so much. And it's interesting because in John chapter 3, we tend to focus on verse 16 and recognize that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. But there's more to the book than that. There's more to the chapter than that. Father, we pray this evening that you bless our time in your word, that you minister to us and strengthen us and enable us to see the greater picture of what John chapter 3 tells us concerning man's condition and man's need for a Savior, and ask you, Father, to speak through this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So John chapter 3, starting in verse 12, quickly, just for a recap. If I have told you about things that happen on earth and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about things of heaven? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And we're going to stop right there for a moment, because Jesus says, if you don't understand things on earth, how can you possibly understand things from heaven? And then he refers to himself as being the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, for the purpose of redeeming us, for the purpose of going to the cross, for the purpose of being lifted up. And he will ascend back into heaven. And he did ascend back into heaven at the end of his ministry after he was raised from the dead. But the interesting thing about this, and I think if we don't really look at what happened in Numbers chapter 21, if we don't look at that picture of the snake in the wilderness, we don't see the correlation between the snake raised up in the wilderness and the fact that Jesus was going to go to the cross and be raised up. So let me read this really quickly. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, chapter 21, verse 4 through 29. When they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to bypass the land of Edom, the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against Moses and God. Why have you led us this way from Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread or water, and we detest this wretched food. Well, how was God feeding the people? With manna, and they called it wretched food. Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit them, so that many Israelites died. The people then came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Intercede with the Lord so that he will take away the snakes from us." Moses interceded for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake image and mount it on a pole. Then anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will recover." So Moses made a bronze snake and mounted it on a pole. Whenever someone is bitten, he looks at the bronze snake, he will recover. It's a picture of exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. Exactly what he did for us on the cross. Numbers 21, 4 through 9 is a picture of sin, repentance, and deliverance. So when we read the New Testament and we read that simple phrase, that simple sentence in John chapter 3, and we don't recognize that that's what took place in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, then we don't catch the correlation of the two to what is going to be said in John chapter 3:16 and following. So when we look at John 3:16 and following, for God so loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. And this then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who practices wicked things, hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. We're going to stop right there. Jesus loves. That's the title of this message. God loved us and gave his Son to us. And I think that, you know, we look at other scripture, and I think it's important to look at other scripture, because when we come to Ephesians chapter 1, we see that we have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, that he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and understanding. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the day's fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth. We have all received an inheritance in him, predestined according to the purpose of the one whose work and everything in agreement with the decision of his will, so that we already have put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to his glory. When you have heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believe in him, you will also be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. And it goes on and on, but the point is that the picture of what happened in Numbers is a picture of what Jesus is doing and did do for us, to provide us with the opportunity to repent, the opportunity to be delivered from our sin. And faith in Christ is based entirely upon our willingness to come to him by faith. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin by his blood. And when he paid the penalty for our sin by his blood, he gave us redemption when we believed in him. And we can't forget that part. It takes the faith of a person to come to Christ. So when we look at John 3:16, we say, for God so loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only Son. When we look at the verses previous, the Son of Man, Jesus, laid down his life for us because he knew he would be lifted up. He knew that he was going to be sacrificed. He knew that he was going to be crucified. And he lived that life to show us his character, to show us his purpose, to train us, really, to be the messengers of the truth of the gospel and see Christianity go throughout the entire world. And we sang that song, Nobody. I love that song, Nobody, because that's exactly who we are. Nobody telling somebody, telling everybody about someone who has saved their soul. So we look at this passage and we think, wow, there's a lot more to John chapter 3 than what we generally quote. We generally quote the fact that God gave Jesus and that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But there's so much more to the picture than that. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He will, however, come in his wrath to bring condemnation in the future. Right now, we're in the age of grace. It's interesting because what happened in Numbers chapter 21 was during the age of the law. And God allowed people to die in the wilderness because of their sin and because of their rejection of his authority and his person and his deliverance from Egypt. But Jesus came not to condemn. He came to save. He came to deliver. He came to give opportunity for peace with God, have a relationship with Him, opportunity to not be condemned. And it's interesting because we look at Romans chapter 6 and we see that we all sinners. We all deserve judgment. And yet here he says, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned. That's the caveat. Our faith is the caveat. Our faith is the reality of what is hoped for. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that. So when we look at that passage and we say, wow, all it takes is faith. But it absolutely takes faith. We can't do anything in and of ourselves to gain any acceptance with God whatsoever. Faith is the reality of things as hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. And the proof of what is not seen is a changed life. A changed life. It's interesting because when it comes right down to it, the greatest apologetic in the world is the simple truth of a saved life, of a changed life. Because you can't prove the existence of God. You can't empirically prove the existence of God because He tells us in Romans chapter 1 that He's put it in our heart to know that there is a God. And yet we reject that thought, push it away from us, and we accept the fact that we are condemned because of our own rebellion, because of our own desire to follow our own way. And that's what humanity is doing right now. So anyone who does not believe, according to John 3, is condemned already because he has not believed in the one and only Son of God. Period. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So the world is the way it is right now because of the fact that they will not honor God. They will not look to God. They will not accept the Son. They will not accept the truth of what God says about who they are and who we are. But He gives us the opportunity to believe. This is the judgment. That light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And it's amazing to see what's going on right now in the world. You know, when 9/11 happened, people were flocking into churches and people were respectful of the fact that that's what happened, and they were waving flags and they were being repentant. Even though it may have been a surface action, it wasn't really necessarily a heart action. But now, in the situation with what happened with Charlie Kirk, it's become bitter and angry and vicious and vile. That's exactly what John tells us here. People love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wickedness hates the light and avoids it. Everyone who practices wicked things hates the light, and they avoid it. They're not flocking to Christ, although many people are coming to Christ. As a culture, we're not coming to Christ. We're seeing people coming to Christ, yes, but the culture itself is vile and angry and hateful. And what's happening in this situation that we're in right now, as we approach the end days, which I believe are probably not that far away, they hate the light and avoid it because, it says, because their deeds will not be exposed. That's why they run from the light, because they don't want people to see their real heart. They don't want people to see their real deeds. They don't want people to see just how vile they really are. Now, when John wrote this chapter towards the end of his life, about 80 AD, it was during the time of the Roman emperor who was the most vile Roman emperor of the time. Nero was his father, but he was much more vile. And he was killing Christians just for the simple fact that they were Christians. No real other reason. They would not honor him. They would not worship him. Therefore, they were going to be killed. That's where we are in this culture right now. We're seeing a recurrence of that same mentality, not the same amount of violence that they had in the first century, but certainly the same mentality that they had. And what we see here is that their deeds were evil because they were hiding and avoiding the light. They did not want to see the truth. They did not want to see what God had to offer for them in their relationship with Him. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Anyone who lives by the truth. And we really have an opportunity in this time in our culture, in this time in America, we have an opportunity to stand for the truth. We have a requirement to stand for the truth, according to what Jesus tells us, even in Matthew chapter 28, make disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel. But in our own realm of influence, we have this incredible need to live by the truth, to accomplish the truth, to teach the truth, to disciple, mentor, encourage, and lift people up so that they might walk with the Lord. In the first century, the church was way different than it is today, because we have a tendency, when people fail, to write them off, to throw them away, to leave them to themselves, turn our back on them, basically, and say, you're on your own. Now, I know there are ministries that don't do that. But as a church as a whole, we tend to do that. We tend to walk away from people. In the first century, if someone denied Christ because they were going to go to the arena, to the Colosseum, if you claim to be a Christian, and this is actually, you can see it in Fox's Book of Martyrs and in church history, people would deny Christ to not go to the Colosseum, to not be torn apart by wild animals. And instead of the church turning them away and saying, we don't want any part of you, they would take them aside, encourage them, disciple them, teach them, train them to stand for Christ, so that the next time that they were asked to deny Christ, they wouldn't do that. They would not do that. And they would go to the Colosseum because they knew that they had an eternal hope in Jesus Christ. They knew that they were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. They knew that they had a relationship with Him that was enduring, and it would last them not only in this life, but into eternity. It would be who they were in Christ. Their relationship was not simply to have a good life here. They didn't have a good life here. They had a hard life because they believed. So we need to adopt the same mentality. We need to adopt the same mentality that we help people. We want to encourage people. We want to see people grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to see people have victory in their life over life-controlling issues, whether it's addiction to alcohol, to drugs, or whether it's a life-controlling issue like pornography or hatred or anger or something else. So life-controlling issues are what everybody deals with. Everybody has something in their life that they have to deal with. And we see people like that every day. I found out just a couple of days ago about a young lady that works in a restaurant that lives in her car because she can't afford to live anywhere else. But she goes to work and nobody knows that that's what she does or where she lives or how she gets by, because she's not going to say anything to anybody But at the same time, she still has an issue that needs to be dealt with, needs to be supported. So it doesn't matter if it's the lady at the grocery store or someone at your work, someone in a different situation, someone you meet on the street, everybody has some issue that they're dealing with in their life. And all of those issues are real. To that individual, they're very real, and they need support, and they need encouragement, and they need a helping hand, or they need a positive word. They need to hear something from someone who will encourage them. And at the same time, they all need to hear the gospel. They all need the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring them to the place of having a relationship with Him that will last them for eternity. And we need to be bold. Stand for the truth. Stand for the truth and share the truth. And too many of us are, we feel inadequate. We feel like we're not able to share the truth. Maybe I'll mess it up. Maybe I'll share something that's not really right. But most of the time, it's because of our fear that's inside of us that keeps us from sharing the truth of the gospel, because they won't like me anymore. Maybe they'll think I'm crazy. Maybe they'll curse me. Maybe they'll do something to me that I don't want to have happen. Yet we are called to the purpose of sharing the truth, living the truth, demonstrating the truth, and having the truth impact our lives in such a way that the people that we impact and have an opportunity to talk to can recognize that we believe the truth and what we're telling them is the truth. Now, if we have a life that is messed up to the point that we don't revere the Lord, to the point that our language doesn't reflect that we really are believers in Christ, then we ought to keep our mouth shut. But if our life is honorable and walking in the Spirit of God and being the person that we need to be, being the person that honors Christ, being the person that demonstrates love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, then we ought to be telling people the truth about the gospel. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Tell them that God has a purpose in their life. Tell them that there is a way to overcome life-controlling issues in your life. There is a purpose. So we have a real positive opportunity to share the gospel, and we're called upon to do that. And at the same time, we have to look at the signs of the times and recognize that the time is short. The time is short. I don't know the day or the hour, and I won't be crazy enough to say that I know the day or the hour, but I know that the signs of the times are such that we don't have that much time left. The gospel needs to go out. People need to hear the truth. We are at the point right now where we can't play church anymore. We have to support people. We have to encourage people. We have to disciple people. We have to mentor people. We have to enable them to stand for the truth. Train them to stand, knowing full well that we don't actually do anything in and of ourselves. It is always the Spirit of God at work who brings about real life change. He's the one who teaches us. He's the one that transforms us. He's the one that works in our heart through the Word of God to bring about real transformation in our character and who we are, to conform us to the image of His Son. It's always Him, but it always engages and requires our involvement. He did use 12 men to change the world. 12 men who were committed to Him, to walk with Him, to give their life to Him completely, to allow Him to do in them and through them what only He could do. But they were committed to the point of death. John was the only apostle of Jesus that did not die a martyr's death. The only one. All the rest of the apostles died a martyr's death. And I'm not promoting the idea that we might die a martyr's death, but what I am promoting is the idea that we need to live for Christ regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost. Because it's the time that he is going to use us in this latter day to influence the world for Christ, our world, people that we have contact with. So we ask just incredibly that we live the truth and come to the light so that our works, his works in us, may be shown to be accomplished by God. He's doing in us what only he can do. He's accomplishing in us what only he can do. And we want to be that faithful servant. So that when we stand before him one day, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We need to check out the level of our commitment. We need to look at ourselves and say, are we really totally committed to Christ for at whatever cost it will be? Because he wants to work in and through us. Because he, as John chapter 3, verse 16 says, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Are we telling people the truth that they might believe?
In John 3, 16 through 21, we see both the depth of God's love and the reality of human sin. God gave his only Son so that all who believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Christ came not to condemn the world, but to save it. Yet those who refuse to believe are condemned already because they love darkness rather than light. This is the tragic reality of unbelief. But for those who come to the light, it becomes clear that their new life has been worked in them by God himself. The passage reminds us that salvation is entirely of the Lord. It is his love, his grace, and his power that brings sinners out of darkness and into the light of Christ. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure that more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.